Welcome to the Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Clatsop County is updating its comprehensive plan as it relates to estuaries, coastal shorelands, and beaches and dunes. The plan will guide what happens in those areas for years to come. Residents who care about those things are encouraged to take part and contribute their thoughts and ideas. To that end, the Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition organized a seminar in Astoria last month to explain the process and issues for people who want to get engaged. This morning, we'll play key points from that presentation, edited for time. The first of three speakers was Eric Riston, an attorney with the nonprofit Cragg Law Center, who covered the basics of getting involved in land use issues.
Our motto is legal aid for the environment, and through that, we represent groups like Oregon Shores and Surfrider, who are representing here, all across the Northwest, and just try to provide that extra legal support to bolster other organizations' missions. The basic principle is that land use is managing and guiding the development and the use of land. It's primarily implemented at the local level. Your city or your county government are making the decisions, and it's deciding what uses and activities are allowed and where they're allowed. So, for example, land use decides the question of whether we should be building a big polluting factory in the middle of a residential neighborhood, or whether we should be building a new condo complex in an important coastal marsh, those kinds of questions. Why is that all important? Why is land use important? Why do Oregon Shores and Surfrider care about it? It's because it really does play a key role in determining how we are protecting or not protecting our natural resources, our landscapes, our recreation opportunities, and how we're building our communities. And especially in light of climate change and the impacts we're facing, it provides a really important opportunity for thinking critically about how we're going to build our communities and respond to climate change, both to make sure we're developing in a responsible way in light of foreseeable impacts, and also to mitigate those impacts and reduce emissions. So to zoom in a little bit more on what that role of local governments is, like I said, it's to implement those statewide goals, and they do that through their comprehensive plans, like what we're here to talk about today, and through their zoning ordinances. And the comprehensive plans, you can kind of think of like mini constitutions specific to what a local government is going to do for land use planning. And it has to address each one of the statewide land use goals. Those comprehensive plans set out the county's plan for moving forward with land use, moving forward with development, how it's going to grow, how it's going to expand in light of the statewide goals. And then the zoning ordinances, on the other hand, implemented by the counties and the cities, take the goals of those comprehensive plans and the standards in those comprehensive plans and implement them and set out in more detail what exactly is allowed, like whether a given use is allowed in a specific zone, that kind of specific thing. So now we're going to get to like what we're here to talk about, which is the Clatsop County Comprehensive Plan update. So the basics of what the county is proposing is to update its comprehensive plan provisions for statewide land use goals 16, which is for estuaries, 17, which is for coastal shorelands, and 18, which is for beaches and dunes. These sections of the county's comprehensive plan have been largely untouched for decades. Some of them haven't been amended since they were originally enacted in 1980. The county has also contracted with Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, or CREST, to carry out this update. You'll hear from CREST a little later. Under Goal 16, each estuary is designated either as development, conservation, or natural. And for reference, the Columbia River is a development estuary, and the Canicum River is a conservation estuary. And that designation really controls what kind of development and uses are allowed in the estuary. But each estuary is then further broken down into management units that have their own designations of the same thing, development, natural conservation. So even though the Columbia River is a development estuary, The whole river is not dedicated to development. There's only specific management units within it that are dedicated to development. There's also natural and conservation management units within the Columbia River estuary. The main way that local governments implement Goal 16 is through estuary management plans, which really set out a more detailed estuary-specific and management unit-specific set of standards for what is allowed in a given estuary, what kinds of uses, what kinds of development are allowed. The next goal, Goal 17, another part of the update here, is for coastal shorelands. And Goal 17 protects coastal shorelands, which are defined to include any shorelands, any lands contiguous with the ocean, estuaries, or the coastal lakes. And under the goal, local governments have to inventory the geologic and hydrologic hazards that are kind of at risk in that land and set goals based on that inventory. Additionally, the kind of clear purpose of the goal is really to protect the huge value of the shorelands for everything from their natural benefits for fish and wildlife, their protection for water quality, and their value for recreation. Another really important part of Goal 17 is that it states that land use management practices and non-structural solutions to erosion are preferred over structural solutions like riprap, which we take to mean that really the first priority when there's issues that Kaya touched on, like riprap, is to not have that in the first place, not have a building that's at risk of erosion. The second priority, if that's already gone, is to have some kind of solution that is less invasive. And then finally, as a last resort, is where Goal 17 allows riprap. The final goal at issue here is Goal 18, which is specific to the beaches and dunes. It's both meant to protect those resources and public access to them, and also to reduce the hazards associated with developing in those areas. For example, it prohibits residential development on beaches and foredunes that are subject to wave overtopping or undercutting. And also prevents development in interdune areas that are subject to flooding. Goal 18 also touches on riprap, and it has a really important provision that essentially prohibits any kind of structural erosion prevention on any property that was developed after 1977. And the update's really just, indescribably critical time to think about how are we going to protect these resources as climate change advances and impacts increase. And finally, like I said earlier, these updates don't occur that often. Like I said, some of these haven't been updated since 1980, so it's just a crucial time. So with that being mapped out, I'm going to start kind of talking about some of our policy priorities in this space and what Surfrider Oregon Shores hope to see happen here. And that's kind of broken into four big chunks, which is one, limiting the proliferation of unnecessary hardened shoreline. Two, just generally improving shoreline management. Three, planning for cable landings, which are becoming an increasing problem. And four, finally, committing to improved hazard mapping so we can understand where these things are at issue. The status quo in Clatsop County in the plan is that there's not really unified policies for shoreline permits. There are some policies that are estuary specific for those shorelands in those estuaries, and there are some policies regarding, determining whether the property was developed before 1977 or not, but there's not really a comprehensive approach for how the county decides whether or not a given shoreline permit is going to be a good idea, is going to, impermissibly restrict public access or not. Onto the next kind of policy bucket, we also think there need to be some kind of general improvements to shoreline management. This includes some kind of policy that all new oceanfront development should be reviewed for the long-term viability, considering sea level rise. Obviously, we should be thinking critically about whether we're building in an area that in 50 years is not going to be a great spot, and there's not a lot of explicit provisions for that. And we think the county needs to think really critically about what it's doing there. We also think that the county should require that all new structures on any oceanfront property be required to be built on the safest possible site. for the same reasons of preventing this from continuing to occur. Obviously, a lot of people with oceanfront property want to prioritize the view over prioritizing building in a spot that's not going to require some kind of erosion control in the next 20 years. And we think that's, you know, not a responsible way to move forward, and there should be some requirement to move those properties back as far as possible. We also think that the county should look to its definitions for stable or semi-stable dunes in light of sea level rise. As you all can imagine, based on everything we've talked about, as sea levels rise, what's a stable dune to be built on changes really quickly as the fore dune erodes and waves keep coming up. And there needs to be some kind of policy for, you know, when the county looks to what is a dune that can be built on, how does that change if the county's not going to come back to that definition for 20 years and the situation totally changes? Finally, and this is, I think, a pretty common sense thing in light of everything else I've said, I think the county should require that new structures in these hazard areas, including all oceanfront properties, be required to be movable. That's a requirement that some other local governments in Oregon have implemented. And it's essentially so that, you know, when the inevitable happens, when sea level rise happens, it's not a lost cause. It's not something that gets abandoned and then dumped on the county for the cost of removing it, as has happened in other states. Next, in terms of planning for cable landings, this is a big growing issue. And as more and more of these kind of intercontinental fiber optic cables keep popping up, it's really important to have a plan for what's going to happen. At this Facebook site, you know, they ended up both spilling a bunch of their drilling fluid into the ocean and then abandoning all of their equipment. And the local government really did not have any strong provisions for considering this because, again, it's a new problem. So we think this update is a really important time to look at that. And we think the county needs to commit to developing policies for these and set standards for impacts that consider the environmental implications of these cable landings, as well as the public recreation and access opportunities if this is going to be closing down major beaches for a while. Feel free to, you know, raise these issues, but also any other issues that you're concerned about with your estuaries, with the beaches. It's all at stake here. And other folks are going to talk a little bit more about what that involvement looks like and how you can do it. But I just want to say, from our perspective, it really does make a difference. And you all submitting comments, giving testimony at the hearings really can make an impact. And it is heard. This update is really an important time. These are how the county is managing its coastal resources, the estuaries, the beaches, the shorelands. And it's really just a unique time to think about what we're going to do with those in the future, especially in light of climate change. And it's hard to understate how important that is. I'm going to hand it to Brett Estes from DLCD to talk a little bit more about their role in this.
My name is Brett Estes, and I am the North Coast Regional Representative for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And as Eric was saying, the Department of Land Conservation and Development is the land use agency for the state of Oregon. And we have our Oregon land use system, which is just celebrated its 50-year anniversary. So, I am one of nine regional representatives across the state that works with local jurisdictions and communities in implementing the statewide land use program. There are two coastal regional reps. I'm the North Coast regional rep, and I serve the area including Lincoln County, Tillamook County, Clatsop County, and a good portion of Columbia County. I head up the Columbia River a bit. We do play a part in the review of the comprehensive plan updates and zoning ordinance changes, as Eric was saying, and I'll go into a little bit more detail in a little bit in terms of how that works. We also have grant opportunities that come along when funding's available to help these jurisdictions to implement the statewide planning goals. So again, there are 19 planning goals for the state of Oregon. I'm going to touch on, in addition to the goals 16 through 19, which Eric touched on, I'm going to touch a little bit on goal one and goal two. Goal one is citizen involvement. And I think that shows how important getting involved and participating in the local land use decision-making process is, that it's the first goal. And it was listed as the first goal for that reason. And I'm going to get into a little bit about goal two, dealing with land use planning and how it ties in to updating a jurisdiction's comprehensive plan and also zoning ordinance. So you're at the top, at the state level, you have the statewide planning goals, the Oregon Revised Statutes, and the Oregon Administrative Rules. That then filters down to the comprehensive plan of a local jurisdiction, which again is the vision document for a community. And then you have your local ordinances that are implemented, and really it's where the rubber hits the road in terms of saying what can be developed and how something should be developed at the local level. And then you have the planning commissions, the county commissions, the city councils that use the zoning ordinances in reviewing any permits. But then there is actually a process by which the Department of Land Conservation and Development has an opportunity to review a final draft before it goes to the Planning Commission, and the Department of Land Conservation and Development has the opportunity to provide testimony. DLCD doesn't have the opportunity to say stop, no, it can't go forward, but we have the opportunity to participate just like Jane and Joe Q Citizen could. We can provide testimony at the local Planning Commission and ultimately County Commission hearing if we had any concerns about that. At no point in time is the state able to say stop. We're just able to participate, and if we participate, it would give the Department of Land Conservation and Development the ability to appeal a decision up to the Land Use Board of Appeals, if necessary. Remember, I said that goal one deals with public involvement, community involvement, public participation. And so if you are wanting to participate in this, participate at the county level, participate at the public hearings, before the Planning Commission, before the County Commission. And that's something that is encouraged throughout the whole process, that you have the opportunity, and it's mandated by state statute, that the community has the ability to participate. Either by speaking in person at the hearings or providing written testimony in advance or during the hearing. I'm going to turn it over to Denise, who is going to go into a little bit more detail about the project that's underway and some of the comprehensive plan work that they're doing with the county.
Good evening, everybody. Brett said, my name is Denise Loffman, and I am the director of the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, also known as CREST. So CREST is a council of governments. We are based here in Astoria. We were formed in the mid-70s. We wrote the very first Columbia River Estuary Management Plan, which was completed in 1979. Next year is CREST's 50th anniversary. And that Columbia River Estuary Management Plan had lots of pieces of it that ended up in the comp plans, not just of Clatsop County, but of Astoria and Warrenton, and also jurisdictions on the Washington side of the river. So when Clatsop County said, they put out what's called a request for proposals and said, we are looking for someone to help us update our comp plan goals 16, 17, and 18. CREST said, this is something that we've been doing for a long time. We still assist all of these jurisdictions with land use planning. And so the county selected us to help them with this process. So that's how we've gotten here. As a council of governments, the governments that are members of CREST is Clatsop County, all the cities in Clatsop County, and a couple of jurisdictions in Washington. And so when the original Estuary Management Plan was written, it was a bi-state effort. And the mandate basically came down from the federal government and then from the governors to the local jurisdictions saying, you will create a regional land use planning document. And I've talked with former directors of CREST, and they said, all the jurisdictions said we're going to finish this and then we're going to dissolve CREST. We're still here 50 years later because the jurisdictions have really found out that working together around natural resources and land use planning can be advantageous for everybody. Just to give you an idea of who the project team is, that's working on this project, it's made up of the Clatsop County Community Development Department, and then Garrett Phillips is CREST's senior coastal planner. He is leading this project. I assist when and as necessary. And then we've hired Herrera Environmental Consultants. They're a consulting firm, but they had some really special kind of abilities that we needed as part of this process. One of them is they've done a lot of climate change and sea level rise and coastal hazard work along the entire Washington shoreline and have put together some reports around climate change, coastal hazard, sea level rise, and we wanted to bring that expertise to Clatsop County as part of these updates. And then the other thing that they have a very large GIS department, and GIS is all about mapping. And so just to help you guys kind of get an understanding of Clatsop County's current process in terms of these three goals, the vast majority of their maps are on paper that were made by CREST in the 1980s. It can be very difficult to make land use planning decisions when you're working with large paper maps that are that old. And so what we're doing is we're taking old paper maps, we're taking new maps with new data, and we're pulling it all together so the county will have, this was one of the key things they wanted in this process, is that all of their maps will now be electronic and they'll be able to align things on top of each other. And so as part of the work, Herrera is geo-referencing paper maps, which those of you who might work with GIS know that that takes some very special skills. So we're really happy to have them as part of the team. Goal 16 is really the estuaries themselves, and it's not just the Columbia River. It's the Columbia, it's the Nakanikum, and it's Cola Creek. And then goal 17 is the coastal shorelands, both around the estuaries themselves and then also along the actual shoreline. And what happens is goal 18, which is the beaches and dunes, and goal 17 along those areas, they actually end up overlapping a little bit. These three goals have not been updated for 30 to 50 years. I know Eric mentioned that. Goal 16 really focuses and is concerned with protecting natural resources, fish and wildlife habitat, navigation, economic and business opportunities related to the water, recreation, and public access. Those are some of the key areas that goal 16 is thinking about. Goal 18, outer beaches, coastal beaches and dunes, and the policies around this goal are looking at reducing risks from erosion and flooding, protecting public access and recreation, and it can also be concerned with habitat and also protecting natural resources. And then goal 17, coastal shorelands, really is focused on around estuaries. It's looking at adjacent land to the estuary and dikes, wetlands that might be connected to the estuary, but that might be separated from the estuary by dikes or tide gates. And policies in these areas really emphasize preserving opportunities for development that need to be located next to the water. This would be particularly on the Columbia. And then also protecting natural resources. I really want to say I'm so happy to see you all here because I think that goal one of Oregon statewide planning system and the fact that it's number one in terms of citizen engagement is something that citizens I don't think always know, and then they don't know how to like become engaged in the process, and they don't recognize sometimes how important it is. So I just want to emphasize, like, as far as I'm concerned and CREST is concerned, the more people that engage in this process, the more views and perspectives that are part of the process, the richer this process will be and the better the plan will be. And so for those of you who have thoughts and opinions and things that you really want to see in this plan, I really would encourage you to get involved. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can do that. So this plan update is a very, very quick one. In fact, I would call it, it's kind of quick and dirty. The county has set aside a limited amount of funds and has given us a year to do it. It's supposed to end in October, but we didn't actually sign our contract with the county until January. So the timeline hasn't been formally pushed, but everyone that's working on this knows that the final report, it's probably not going to go before the county commission until early 2025. And so the three phases of the project are first to do an assessment. And this is to do an assessment of existing policies and to compare those policies with the state policies for these three goals to make sure that what's currently in the plan matches. And if it doesn't, to begin to address that. We have also been collecting information resources, new maps about natural resources in these areas because the science has changed in 30 to 50 years. And we're also working on a climate report. Herrera is working on a climate and hazards report, both for all three goals. And then what we're going to be starting to do is move into drafting new maps and new policies, regulations, and recommendations for future planning efforts, and then the final report will be released and will need to go before both the Planning Commission and the County Commission before it's adopted. There's going to be another public meeting in early August, and there will be more going forward. So there's lots of ways for you to get involved and participate. And also to remember as we're moving forward through this process that we are balancing diverse needs and wants in terms of protection of resources, use of land, and community values. And the only way that we as the ones who are helping to write this plan, and then your appointed officials in the Planning Commission, your elected officials in the County Commission, and county staff are going to know what the community values are, is if you tell them what that is for you.
We've been listening to portions of a seminar about getting involved in the update of Clatsop County's comprehensive plan as it relates to estuaries, coastal shorelands, and beaches and dunes. The speakers were Eric Riston, an attorney with the nonprofit Crag Law Center, Brett Estes, the North Coast field representative for the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and Denise Laufman, director of CREST, the organization handling the initial drafting of the plan update on contract with the county. Public meetings about the comprehensive plan update are to resume next month. To find out when and where, or to learn more, go to clatsopcounty.gov/landuse or to oregonshores.org. This is The Human Beat. Thanks for listening. I am Roger Rocca.